Kia rana, this is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Don Wiseman. Early this morning, tropical cyclone Gina was 15 kilometres northeast of Vanuatu's Afate Island and 40 kilometres south of the Shepherd's Group. The Category 1 storm is moving in a southerly direction at about 18 kilometres an hour. It has sustained winds at its centre of 75 kilometres an hour, but damaging gale force gusts of up to 90 kilometres an hour are expected in Shepher Province today. Heavy rain and flash flooding is expected over low-lying areas, near rivers and on coasts of Vanuatu's central islands. The Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown says the seven-month suspension of his deputy, Robert Tapaito, who's facing fraud and theft charges, has been lifted ahead of the general election later this year. Radio Cook Islands reports Mr. Brown saying that as Mr. Tapaito's court hearing's not expected until next year, someone cannot be suspended indefinitely. The Prime Minister says there's a presumption a person's innocent until proven guilty. The move means Mr. Tapaito can resume his duties as Deputy Prime Minister and Minister responsible for transport, marine resources, energy and outer island projects. There's disappointment New Zealand's budget doesn't go far enough to help low-income earners through inflation. $196 million has been invested for Pacifica. But there's still disappointment over issues like poverty, the pay gap and providing amnesty to overstayers. A one-off payment of $350 for people earning less than $70,000 a year excludes those receiving welfare payments. Auckland University sociologist Dr. Seriana Naipi says that's unfair.
Everybody's under pressure with inflation, and it kind of just ignores our most vulnerable. And when I saw that, I was really gutted, because if 25% of Pacific children are growing up in poverty, I think it's safe to make the assumption that some of them are not going to get this payment. But this is a really hard time for them.
The budget has allocated $49 million towards building 300 homes for Pacifica and Eastern Porirua over the next 10 years. According to Statistics New Zealand, Pacifica have the lowest levels of home ownership. East Porirua resident and Pacific Whanaora manager Danny Mareko commended the decision.
The 48 or 49 million is really just the beginning, but it's going to make a huge difference in terms of affordable housing. And helping our people, to actually achieve home ownership. There's a housing problem all over New Zealand. Housing prices are, going up. It's getting harder and harder to get mortgages through banks.
The budget announcement also included $4.4 million New Zealand dollars for RNZ Pacific's new transmitter to ensure the future of the service. New Zealand's Broadcasting Minister Chris Farfoy announced the funding as part of the new public media entity, which will operate from next year. RNZ Pacific's technical specialist Adrian Sainsbury says RNZ Pacific is absolutely delighted with the funding injection.
We've been asking for this for many years now, to update our transmission system, because as time goes by, we're still actually relying on a 1980s transmitter as a backup in case our current main one falls over for any technical reasons.
The lawyer for the general manager of the Vanuatu National Provident Fund, Pamod Chari, is raising concerns at continuing court delays over indecency charges brought against him. His preliminary inquiry on the charges has now been delayed three times. Lawyer Mark Hurley says the delays are not only impacting on Mr. Chari, but also contributors to the fund. Mr. Chari is facing six charges of indecency and six breaches of the leadership code. Prosecution has told local media there's more than 20 witnesses to support the charges against Mr. Achari. He's on bail, which includes a ban on him entering the Provident Fund building. Two passengers on a flight between Fiji and Samoa last Saturday tested positive to COVID-19 on arrival at Tofaliola Airport. Takes the number of border cases to 78 since testing started in May of 2020. The Samoan Ministry of Health says COVID. This is 1,006 new community cases were recorded in the 7 days to Sunday. The cumulative number of positive border and community cases now totals 12,051. Since the first confirmed community transmission on March 17th this year, 24 deaths have been confirmed. Vanuatu's Health Minister, Bruno Lengoni, says two sub-variants of the Omicron COVID strain, BA1, BA2, are circulating in the country. Sangwani says specimens sent to Melbourne for laboratory analysis were confirmed as the subvariants. The minister says more information on the two Omicron subvariants will soon be made known to the public. But in the meantime, people are encouraged to keep following the public health measures. Alert levels have been dropped for most areas in Vanuatu, but Eromangu and Tana remain on the highest level at 3. Solomon Islands Police conducting an unexploded ordnance operation in the Western Province. The Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team's mission will run through until June 4th. The officer in charge, Inspector Clifford Tanuki, says the operation has been carried out in the Segi area and surrounding communities. Inspector Tanuki says the operation is in support of the initial subsurface clearance of the Segi airport. He says explosive remnants from World War II have impacted islanders' livelihoods, environment and developments. Wellington Hospital in New Zealand has to move its emergency department because its structure might fail in an earthquake. The Capital and Coast District Health Board says it made the decision after a seismic assessment that the building is at risk in a large earthquake and is only 34% of the new building standard. The DHB looked at whether to fix the building, but has decided to move somewhere else within the main hospital complex. Hasn't said when this will happen or how much it'll cost. What will be done with the large space left behind is also not clear. Follows revelations this week that Hutt Hospital's main building is quake-prone and has to close. The US president is strongly backing plans by Finland and Sweden to join NATO. The Scandinavian nations have applied to join the military alliance in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Joe Biden was joined by the two states' leaders as he expressed his backing for their bids to join what he calls the strongest, most powerful defensive alliance in the history of the world.
There is no question NATO is relevant, it is effective, and is more needed now than ever.
Turkey's indicated it will not support Finland and Sweden's applications, which need unanimous backing from current NATO members. Moscow says more than 900 Ukrainian fighters from the Mariupol steelworks have been taken to a prison camp. But there are conflicting reports about how many Ukrainian fighters are still holding out. Russian state media reporting that more than 1,700 have now left the steelworks, but say top commanders have yet to surrender. Russian TV says there'll be further attempts today to remove those left inside. In sport, a fund overseen by World Rugby is being set up to help rebuild Tongan rugby facilities following January's volcanic eruption and tsunami. The Tonga Rugby Union Chief Executive Peter Harding says rugby activity in the country is at a standstill because of the eruption and tsunami and the subsequent COVID outbreak. He says they approached World Rugby to have them manage a fund to hold donations from overseas to be used to restore grounds and other facilities.
We've set up the account and World Rugby have kicked it off with a donation of £100,000, which is great. A lot of other unions have indicated post the blast and post the tsunami that they wish to help. And the next step is to go to these unions and say, yeah, if you're still willing to help, this is the account to put it in. And this is the actual scope of works that we're going to be presenting and how your money will be used.
The Kalatahi return to test action in July when they take part in the Pacific Nations Cup. Captain Meli Ndirinalangi will miss the Fijian and Drua's clash against the Crusaders in Christchurch tonight. Ndirinalangi and prop Meli Tuni are both to undergo immediate surgery for ligament injuries. Both players will also miss the final game of the season against the Chiefs. Coach McBurn says having the surgery now means both players have a better chance of being available for the start of next season. And New Zealand cricketer Blair Tickner is happy to step in as the enforcer with the ball for the Black Caps in the first match of their tour of England. The Central District seamer is expected to play a significant role in the four-day match against Sussex and Hove, with pace spearheads Trent Bolt, Tim Southee and Neil Wagner all yet to join the squad. Tickner, who spent a season playing at Hove in 2018, says he won't be holding back.
My role in red ball cricket is a bit aggressive and yeah, trying to be the enforcer, and also in England it sort of changes a little bit, but learning my role here and seeing how I go about it in different conditions is going to be awesome to experience.
The opening tour match starts at 10 o'clock tonight, New Zealand time. And that's the latest in news and sport from RNZ Pacific.
Oh, yes. I'd say to you, when we started this work,